In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Talk more about Deshaun Watson at the Fabulous Greenbrier. Welcome in Daryl Ryder, who's also fabulous and dangerous. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning. That was not the Deshaun Watson cut I thought you were going to play leading into me.
Well, you want to play a different one?
No, I'm good.
Okay, because there's a couple. There's.
Oh, yes, I'm very well aware there's a couple.
Oh, well, here you go. Feast your ears.
Just being the best Deshaun Watson can be for this team so we can get that ultimate goal. Maximizing my potential and my talent, that's my motivation.
If none of it's proving people wrong, like you rank quarterbacks.
I give two about the people say.
Ooh, tough talking to Deshaun Watson. Daryl, your thoughts?
Man, that was something on Friday. Boy, I tell you, I was not expecting that. And the odd thing about that is I'm the one that all of a sudden put him in a bad mood with what I thought was a fairly innocuous question, just asking him besides rehab, you know, what did he do this off season, maybe a little differently to get ready for what is a pretty big year for him. And that kind of started the spiral downhill with that, you know, that press conference. So I don't know that that's the tone that you want to be projecting. None of us brought up any of the, you know, his past problems. He received all football questions. And in fact, Ken, he's been getting nothing but football questions from us for really the better part of almost 2 years now. And then just, you know, out of nowhere, he wanted to kind of make it known that he's got axes to grind. And, you know, he certainly has a big chip on his shoulder because we apparently assassinated his character and it wasn't hundreds and hundreds of pages of court documentation.
Well, Daryl, it did seem like he was a little bit different. I was saying earlier in the show how he's always been cool and calm in most of these interview settings, and he looked like he was definitely working through some things. And I said it does stand to reason. I mean, the last 2 years have probably been very different from any of his other professional years to where he was, you know, considered one of the greats in the game, you know, from his college days to the NFL. And all of a sudden, he's an afterthought. I mean, I hate to say it. To Browns fans, but he is a total afterthought anytime anybody talks about the best QBs in the league.
No, there's no question. And there are questions as to whether or not, and legitimate questions, Anthony, as to whether or not he's going to be able to, you know, reclaim the player that he was down in Houston. He's not played a full season since, 2020 and 2021, of course, he sat out with whatever led to that dispute with the Texans after he had already signed a $100+ million contract extension with them. And then obviously 2022 was, the year of the allegations and the disciplinary back and forth with the NFL league office and ultimately an 11-game suspension. And then, of course, last year, out of his control, not his fault, but You know, just when it felt like he was starting to catch a little bit of a rhythm early in the season, he injures the throwing shoulder and ultimately suffers a season-ending injury that required surgery. And now he had to spend this offseason, the bulk of it, rehabbing and getting that shoulder back to where it needs to be for him to be able to perform. But, you know, I have no idea, Anthony, what to expect from him. My hope is that we can start to see some of the glimpses of the player he was with the Texans. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not confident in that. You know, hope doesn't mean confidence. I'm hoping he returns to that, because if he does, this is going to be a very fun football season for Browns fans. If he doesn't, I still feel like they can win. We saw it last year, five different quarterbacks. They won 11 games, made the playoffs. This is a very good roster if they're able to stay healthy. But if he does struggle, obviously that makes life difficult on the rest of the team to achieve their goals.
Say he's no longer that guy anymore. What's the best case scenario of a good Deshaun Watson that you could believe, not hope, but you think would happen?
Yeah, best case scenario, Ken, is, you know, not a lot of turnovers. You know, because that's the most important thing, right? That he takes care of himself and he takes care of the football. So for me, best case scenario, assuming that, you know, some of the physical gifts have diminished a little bit because of all this off time that he's had, is that, you know, he's at least healthy and he takes care of the football.
Daryl Ryder with us right now, recapping what's going on at training camp so far. I know Coach said that he was wishing it'd be a little hotter to get them acclimated for what's to come, but have you noticed anything different here in year two at Greenbrier, or for that matter, year five for Kevin Stefanski?
Not really in a lot of that, Anthony. Honestly, you know, it's not a Kevin Stefanski thing. It's a collective bargaining agreement thing. They're limited in what they can do early in camp. Today, the pads are going to go on. Stefanski kind of gave us a little bit of a heads up that the days of the pads going on and them going at each other are long gone. That's not going to happen. You know, he obviously wants to take care of his football team. It's going to be another acclimation style practice. In fact, as I look out my hotel room window right now, it is raining. They moved practice up this morning to avoid some of the thunderstorms that are in the forecast for today. They're going to practice this morning at 8:45 instead of, you know, mid-morning, early afternoon like they have been. But, you know, I think tomorrow's practice and I think Thursday's practice are going to be the two most productive, at least from my standpoint, watching and getting to see competition. We've not had a tremendous amount of 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. We got some 7-on-7 during Saturday's practice. Got to see Deshaun throw 5 red zone touchdowns, which was great to see. David Njoku came back. He caught a touchdown pass and, you know, did his patented Chief Slam. But, you know, again, the lack of intensity in practices from a physical standpoint and guys just really going after each other, and that's more of a collective bargaining thing. And I'll tell you this, on Saturday, during Saturday's practice, a couple of times during 11-on-11, Kevin Stefanski actually kind of had to step in and remind guys to take it easy and not go after each other and that they're teammates and let's not get anyone hurt by being over-aggressive or doing something stupid.
Wow. Daryl, the Mike Vrabel part of this is interesting. Every time I see any video, in fact, I make the argument that the Vrabel video has been more interesting than anything else I've seen at camp.
Yeah, I mean, he's living his best life with the Browns right now, man. It's a lot of fun to watch him. I mean, he is definitely appointment viewing. He jumps in the middle of these drills. You know, the other day he was going up against the offensive line, playing some linebacker. He races Jameis Winston pretty much on a daily basis, and not just once. They run a couple of heats. It just kind of comes out of nowhere. He's heavily involved in the special teams unit, with Bubba Ventrone as they implement their strategies for this new kickoff rule and how they're going to approach it. I've seen up to 7, maybe 8 different return combinations that they're using. Bubba Ventrone was certainly true to his word about that. If you're a skill guy, you're going to get a chance to participate in that regard. But yeah, Mike Vrabel living his best life with the Cleveland Browns right now. He is just, you'd think he's a player out there, Anthony. It is a lot of fun to watch the energy he brings during practice.
Darryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Anything more on JOK status in terms of a future contract?
Well, that is certainly going to come up at some point this morning when we speak with Andrew Berry. I haven't heard anything in the way of progress there. Obviously, he's a guy, Ken, that I hope that they're able to take care of. I really like JOK a lot. He has really started to blossom into a really good Pro Bowl level caliber football player for them. I remember when they drafted him in the second round and just how excited they were, feeling like they stole the first round pick. So we'll talk to Andrew Berry about that and a wide variety of other subjects later this morning.
Was there anything that the Haslam said to you over the weekend that stuck out when it comes to the stadium issue?
Yeah, well, I think the quote was 90% of the fans want the dome. Truth be told, the Haslams want the dome. I think that it's not just a matter of navigating the politics around it to make it happen. Jimmy Haslam was asked if this needs to be a ballot issue for voters. And the response for Jimmy was, quote, "It's my understanding it does not," end quote. So, they are working through, various scenarios, but they want the dome. It's very apparent. They think that that's the best route to go. And obviously, a lot of Browns fans are just fine if they build that dome in Brook Park.
Is there, you're a conduit for the fans. You're a media member. Is there a percentage that you think is more closer to the truth to the people that want the dome? Can you put it like it's 91% or 87%? What do you have that you actually believe who actually want the dome?
Yeah, no, I think that the fans that still want to be on the lakefront are the diehard fans that go back to the 60s and 70s and even some, the 80s that have those memories at old Cleveland Municipal Stadium, but the reality is not only the sport of football has changed and evolved, and let's be honest about it, Ken, up until Kevin Stefanski taking over, the Browns had no such thing as a home field advantage. Let's just keep that real, right? Under Stefanski, they have established a home field advantage, and it also helps that they've got a pretty good football team. The other thing too, Ken, the economics, the entertainment economics certainly have changed, and these facilities are desired to be multi-use, not so much for multi-sport, right? I mean, we grew up in the era of Three Rivers and Riverfront and Veterans Stadium and Busch Stadium, these even Cleveland Municipal Stadium, these stadiums that hosted both football and baseball. And in the 90s building boom, the two sports got separated with individual buildings. But you're talking major concerts, you're talking college football playoff, Final Fours and stuff, and things like that. And these are the things that the Haslams really want to be able to not only compete with other facilities like Lucas Oil Stadium, whatever they end up building in Chicago, Ford Field up in Detroit, they want to be able to compete with those facilities for some of these marquee events to bring them to Northeast Ohio.
Darryl, how was your performance in the pickleball tournament extravaganza?
I had never played before, but that's no excuse. I was the worst player on the court by far. And I would say I woke up this morning with extremities that I did not know existed on fire. I feel like I've been through a meat tenderizer, to be perfectly honest with you. But it
really
was a lot of fun.
Pickleball's supposed to be low impact. It's supposed to be for everybody.
The legs got a good workout that they're not used to getting yesterday, that's for sure. But I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun. And after playing it, even though I was pretty awful, I'm looking forward to playing more of it because it was so much fun. It really is a fun sport that just about everyone can play.
Who is the best?
Dan Murphy and Fred Greatham ended up winning the title, but Mary Kay Cabot and Peter John Baptiste, they came in second place. Mary Kay, she was getting after it there. She got a little cut on her knee too, trying to go for a ball. I ran into a wall trying to save a ball, but Mary Kay's quite the player too.
You ran into the wall, Daryl.
Yeah, I ran into a wall trying to save a play, and I failed miserably.
Put his body on the line for the game, Daryl.
I did. Yes, I did. The wall won.
Well, sorry to hear that, but at least you're still with us. And
yes.
We'll talk to you next week, Daryl. We'll talk to you Friday, Daryl.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thank you. Daryl Ryder giving us the report. Hey, 8:45 practice today. 8:45.
Matt, moved up because of the rain.
Daryl brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Well, you need the rain. I mean, been saying it for years. Yeah. It's the easiest thing to do in a market like ours. How do I do everything I can to not do it? Did you see our buddy Adam Crowley's tweet? I pointed you in that direction earlier today. Because I need to add some proper perspective to this. We are, 34 hours away from the trade deadline there, buddy? Yeah. 34, 33, somewhere in there, right? Over 30.
33 and a half.
Okay. So Adam Crowley, our buddy in Pittsburgh, he hosts the morning show there. He had tweeted out that the Pirates will be at worst, all caps at worst, 3 games out of a playoff spot at the deadline. If Ben Cherington doesn't act, we riot, with the gif of the Simpsons rioting and stuff. And I'm going, you really need to make a move like that? Do you have to do that? Like, why do you... The easiest thing I think to do, and it does sound like I'm accusing Adam of doing the easiest thing. I'm not trying to be nasty to him. But the whole thing is, hey, you're 53 and 52. Okay? You're not going to catch the Brewers. You're probably not going to... Do you see them actually making the postseason 3 games out of the wild card spot? The Pirates? I'm sure there's some Buccos fans who might say that. But I'm like, you're not in a position... I know you got Paul Skeens and everybody's excited about him. I don't think you're yet in a position to go 10 toes in and make big trades. You understand what I'm saying right there? So I'm trying to see, like, I'm an outsider. This is not the home of the Pirates, for crying out loud. But I would look at them and go, I don't think you guys are ready yet. If you guys were 10 games up, or if you guys were 15 games over 500 or something like that, then maybe I would see that. But you're a game over 500. I see the Guardians, though, and I'm going 63 and 42. But I found it hard to advocate today going all in, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So I have to see it from the right perspective, because if I'm saying that, hey, the Pirates, when's it ever going to be this good again? Maybe you should do it. If I'm saying that, if they were better than what they are right now, wouldn't I say that about the Guardians? Wouldn't I say, when's it going to be better than what it is right now?
Yeah,
let's go for it.
This is part of the problem. I think I just did a quick tally. 2/3 of Major League Baseball are within 3.5 games of a playoff spot.
Jeez.
Are either in the playoffs or within it. So you only have like 10 teams that are out of it. And because of that, and this was one of the unintended consequences, I think. Maybe not. You know what? I shouldn't call it unintended, because they love the fact that so many teams are involved. But what it does is it really makes a trade deadline not as sexy, not as big of a deal, because so many teams are going to hold on to their guys.
There's only 5 teams that are not double digits out of a playoff spot.
Yeah. And you know, part of it is, Kenny, that a lot of the teams that are vying, like, they're about team control. So you're not just going to trade a young, talented player that you have team control of just because one of the elites really want that guy. Like, not only am I in the playoff hunt, I've got my player under control. Why am I trading that player?
But this is...
So it leads to total inactivity around the deadline.
And this is what sucks about the trade deadline, is that in baseball, and it's better than just about anything else when it comes to trade deadlines. In baseball, it is a feel, and this is part of the bad part about it too, is that you feel like if somebody else makes a trade, that I'm far behind. You know, Jazz Chisholm gets traded. Why are we not in the market for him? you know, Randy Arozarena, which, by the way, do we have a consensus on that? Is that a name that people know?
Yeah, I think it's a name that people know.
Okay, Mitch.
Well, he's got some accolades.
That the general fan knows?
He was a rookie of the year, and he was a one-time All-Star. Okay, but he's also 29.
That's a name that they know.
And he also had that unbelievable run in the 2020 postseason, so people would know him from that.
So people would know him there because people do watch the postseason, not as much as they used.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Used to, but they still watch the postseason a lot. So you have Randy Arozarena. He ends up going to the Mariners.
We were in on those conversations.
I said Jazz Chisholm went to the Yankees or Mariners. Okay, I said Yankees. Yeah. All right. Yeah, and then Randy Arozarena went to the Mariners. And they're a team. Well, if the Mariners can get it. See, this is what sucks about it. And so everybody else who makes a move, you might not have had the wherewithal to make a move for Randy Arozarena. Or they might have been just like you. Maybe Chris Chernoff or Mike Chernoff was sitting there going, I don't think he's as good as what anybody else says he is. I mean, what the hell is this? Like, you said it yourself. Well, he's a one-time All-Star and a Rookie of the Year years ago, and he had a good postseason run in 2020. Well, is that enough to make a move with what you have? Maybe it isn't. So I don't want to turn it into what a lot of our markets do. In Cleveland, I would imagine in Kansas City, in Pittsburgh, obviously, where it's like, you better make a move or I'm going to set this whole studio on fire if you don't make a move come Wednesday morning. Because with the names out there, I mean, I could say Blake Snell. Blake Snell has a 5.10 ERA. You mentioned yourself, he's been better over the last few weeks, but he got a late start, and he's owed $30 million next year.
Which is just,
do I want him to pay $30 million to Blake Snell?
That's a deal breaker right there.
But that's a name that everybody knows. Right. So I could sit here on the radio and start screaming that we need starting rotation help and that they need to go get Blake Snell. But I'm telling you right now, if they went and they got that guy, I'd be shocked. Who's paying the $30 million next year? Would the Giants help us out with something like that? I mean, I guess they can if they really move them that badly. Like, so that's what we're dealing with right now. So I just don't want to be told. I don't want to fall into the same terrible trap of Dolan's Cheaps with a Z. Like, they've made some moves that have been able to help their organization. And yes, they are careful with their payroll. Absolutely true. But I also know that, man, $30 million next year for Blake Snell, do I want to use that as some reason to not like the Guardians or to be anti-Dolan? Where I don't, if Kenny Carmen owned the Cleveland Guardians, would I want to pay Blake Snell $30 million next year? No. No, I wouldn't. So I can't advocate for something if I don't believe it. I can't advocate and just sit there and shout into the wind because it's July and camp is just starting up that the Dolans need to make this trade, need to make big splash moves, or I'm just going to start saying horrible, nasty things about them again. I don't feel that that's fair. I don't feel that that's true.
And I guess if you can separate, you know, that part of it, ownership from the team, because the team, I mean, look at what they just did this weekend. They took 2 out of 3. I wasn't confident at all, I'll be honest, going in. We were talking about concern versus panic. I wasn't panicking last week. Certainly was concerned. They have been shut out now 3 times or 4 times recently. Like, obviously, obviously, they had a bunch of guys slumpy at the same time. I was concerned. I wasn't panicked, though, and I was having too much fun enjoying what this team has been doing, even though certainly over the last month, they have not been playing good baseball. But then I look. It is incredible right now that all the teams at the top, like if you just look at the last 10 column, Orioles 5-5, Yankees 4-6, Red Sox 3-7. Okay, we're 5-5, Twins 5-5, Astros 5-5, Mariners 4-6. I mean, and nobody is playing their best baseball.
Does that
right
mean
now.
That that's a reason to A,
White Sox 0-10?
Like, should they make. Are you serious? Obviously, I haven't paid attention to the White Sox over last week.
Their second 14-game losing streak of the season.
Yeah, this is one of the worst teams in baseball history.
Can we play Schriffen, or is he doing the Olympics too?
I will look for potential clips.
Because this, I mean, you're on another double-digit losing streak. It's time to get some Schriffen in there. All right, that's right.
They're 37 and a half games back of the Guardians right now.
The only reason I want Tommy Pham, because he'll come in and say he's going to whoop somebody's ass.
Guys. August is coming up. Like, we have to find some audio of him. Just what they're doing to keep themselves entertained. Didn't Steve Sohn do something with the with like a highlighter and something and a hot dog or something like that? Yeah. So you can eat a hot dog and keep score or whatever it was. Like, you got to do something.
I was frustrated. Last week, Awful Announcing, I think, ran their rankings. They power ranked all 30 broadcasts.
Guardians came in pretty nice.
They did.
Yeah.
Schriffen and company.
Not so nice.
Dead last.
Not so good. It's the way it goes. Anyway, yeah, Anthony Kastrovitz is going to join us tonight. 216-474-0092. Do you believe they need to make a splash trade? Do they need to jump in cannonball style?
And then you have to tell us what the splash trade is.
Well, that's another thing.
What they're actually getting.
Give me a name.
That you consider a splash.
Give us a name. I don't want to do trade radio because usually it devolves into just trading our trash for another team's gems, which you're never going to do. It's a trade partner, but it's an overarching thing with me. Whether people believe that they should make a splash, well, why should they make a splash? Just so the Dolans aren't quote-unquote cheap? Is that it? Like, this isn't something to say nice things about the Dolans. I'm trying to look at it in being fair to ownership, to be fair to the organization. Is this a time that they feel that they need to go all in? For a lot of Guardians fans out there, if I'm talking to a 60-year-old Guardians fan, who's never seen them win a World Series and might be starting to look down the test of time, or maybe you're going, Kenny, I mean, you're 38 years old. I haven't seen it in my life. Maybe it's time they go all in. All right, I'll hear that. I will hear that. But the all-in conversation, I mean, you just mentioned yourself, two-thirds of the teams are within a look at a wild card spot or winning their division for
crying out loud. Their fan bases are clamoring, having the same types of conversations we're having right now.
So that's my type of issue that I have. Like, what is the price going to be on some of these players? And am I willing to pay that price this year with the few guys on the farm that I actually have? Like, am I going to be able to do any of that? I don't know if I can advocate for something like that. Because all the names here, like when I read down Kastrovitz's thoughts and on all these different guys, am I really going to put that much out there for those guys? But when you're in the AL, the Yankees have already made a move. The Mariners have already made a move. You can't tell me you don't get antsy as a general fan going, what are we going to do to get better? They're stockpiling. They think that they can have a look at it. I know the Yankees intend on shedding salary after this year, so that might be part of the reason that they're willing to do it. I'm not sure. But when you see the Mariners are getting involved and the Yankees are getting involved, you start to go, okay, we won 2 of 3 against the Philadelphia Phillies, are the best team in baseball. Let's go. Let's go. You guys are saying that it's not very good. It's not been a very good July. If it hasn't been a very good July, they're still 5-5 in their last 10, and they just took the series in Philadelphia. Maybe it's time they find some pitching rotation help. Maybe they find another bat that's going to be able to help. I'm not sure. But if you believe they need to make a splash just so they can prove that they're not cheap, I don't think we're doing that in the right heart of things.
Will Andrew Berry be asked, like Jimmy Haslam was, about the future of Paul DePodesta, who did not get an extension?
I think it, well, I don't know what he does, so I can't sit there and advocate yes or no.
When they're doing well,
nobody cares.
Paul, yeah. Great job. When they're doing poorly, it's like, what do you do there? What are you doing there, Paul? Oh, here it is. We got Jimmy on it. Here's Jimmy.
Paul is not. We're working through the situation with Paul. It's a little bit different because he lives in San Diego, but we're comfortable Paul will remain with us in some very important fashion for the long term.
How far away is that from the Greenbrier? Is it actually closer or is it further away?
They must be paying him so much money. If you think about how he is not really getting the fame, like let's say the Browns won the Super Bowl last year. Nationally, how much credit would Dee Podesta really get?
Oh, I think he'd get a ton.
I don't think much at all.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's widely known.
That's me in the bubble.
I don't think it's widely known what he does. I don't think it's even something that's talked about all that often. He was just this supposed pioneer in baseball. And for him, now maybe he is totally egoless, but for most, that would be something like hard to stomach. If you were truly as involved as some people think, remember, some people think he is the puppeteer behind the scenes, orchestrating everything, which you can only get away with that because nobody ever really says what he does.
Yeah.
So they must be paying him so much money because I imagine if the insiders truly knew what he did and he did a lot, there'd be a whole bunch of other teams, maybe in all sorts of sports, looking for the services of Paul Dee Podesta.
I don't know what he does, and I don't know if they know what he does. Now, I do think this is where I'm in the bubble a little bit. I don't think like Bill and Brooke Park would give a damn about Paul Dee Podesta if the Browns win the Super Bowl. I do think, though, that the Steve Palazzolos of the football media would care a lot about what Paul Dee Podesta did or didn't do with the Cleveland Browns to win a Super Bowl. Because, I mean, this is a guy who clearly is a smart guy. I mean, I've taken my swings here and there, but obviously he's a very smart guy. I do think he has some sort of an ego if he didn't like that Jonah Hill was playing him in the movie. But something there. However, and he's in professional sports, so there's a major ego to work in professional sports. That's all well and good. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, it would ever really be brought up except within the media circles. But I don't think that the general football fan would really care, or the general Browns fan would really care for that matter. 216-474-0092. Yes.
Like if I were Alabama football, and I'm going to college football for a reason, like they're talking about how they're going to need GMs, and they're starting to get them, right? And they're starting to have to figure out how to allocate funds and set up an NIL system. Like, all right, I'd hire Paul Dee Podesta to set it all up and try to be at the forefront and try to steal some national championships while everybody else is trying to play catch up.
If I wouldn't even be Alabama, if you really wanted to do it, one,
Texas A&M.
He was at Oakland, and what do we know about Oakland? Now their name is Mud, the A's, but before, it was a great story. They got close and never won it, but we all know how that worked out, right?
Yeah.
Downtrodden, a little bit downtrodden, but we know how it worked out. Browns were downtrodden. They're a competitive football team now. How competitive? I don't know. That's in the ear of the listener right now. I think that they can approach an AFC championship game. Anything else would be icing on the cake. Some people think I'm aiming way too high. Some people think I'm aiming way too low. That's in the eye of you. But clearly, they're a more successful franchise than they were than when Paul Dee Podesta found him. Of course, he's been here 10 years now.
Jeez.
I think that if you really wanted to get into this, Alabama's Alabama. You don't need to go to Alabama. Go to like Vanderbilt. Go to Northwestern. Figure out a way to do it there.
Oh, to do it on the cheap while
not
everybody else?
Not on the cheap. There ain't nothing cheap about the AC or about the SEC and the Big Ten. So there's nothing cheap with those two programs. But to not have the same type of cachet that Alabama does. I imagine that there's people in Alabama with just money falling out of their pockets willing to give money to Alabama football. The same thing with Ohio State. The same thing with Georgia.
A team that would need, based on whatever resources, what you're up against, other teams with advantages, you can come in and be smarter than all those teams because they're all saying the same thing. We have no idea how to split our NIL money between high school and college and then retain our good players. Like, this is the wild, wild west. It's a new day completely in college football.
Like, if you got Northwestern to the college football playoff with 12 teams, that'd be a hell of a Vanderbilt. You got Vandy to the college football playoff out of the SEC with 12 teams, I think I'd probably die and end up in some other alternative universe. But I mean, that would be where you're showing off. Alabama, I honestly, Tone. You're a smart guy. You're a reasonably organized person. I think you could go to a place like Alabama and do just fine in whatever role Paul DePodesta does.
You just said DePodesta has been here 10 years. He has given in his sports career and professional career, he has given the Browns 10 years. No extension yet. You wonder what's next. Has he accomplished what he's wanted to accomplish? Like, if you just say, well, he wants to win a Super Bowl. Okay, I'm sure he wanted to win a World Series. I mean, you move on. You try to figure out, what is your next challenge? What you wonder,
well,
a guy
right now,
like that.
It's got to be a Super Bowl, because right now he's the king of getting you closer. Oakland got close. They never won the World Series. Okay, they were a good team. They never won the World Series. So far, we have not won the Super Bowl. I set my goal for him to, if he ended up at Northwestern or Vanderbilt, hey, just get to the college football playoff. You ain't winning the college football playoff.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying there. So right now he's the king of doing that. It would consume me if the general fan or general media pundit just looked at him and went, yeah, you get him closer, but I don't know if you actually get him over. What you could say about yourself, the legacy you would leave behind if the Browns won a Super Bowl within your circle, if the Oakland A's would have won a World Series within your circle, what would you have left behind? I think that's what's got to be what drives him. I know that's a total aside from what we were going to say,
I know.
But either way.
And you know, we get reaction on this because people love talking about DePodesta, what he does, what he doesn't do. And X Reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. CLE for life. Why would Depot be an attraction if he's never won a championship in MLB or NFL? I think you're just looking. I know sports is results-based, right?
Yeah.
I think these teams organizationally are all, like, they understand sports is a bit of a crapshoot to some level. You need so many things to fall into place.
Yeah.
But there are teams, organizations, businesses that are obsessed with process. And if their process isn't right to begin with, they know they've got no shot. That's why somebody like him is valuable, because he will set up a process and it's up to you and also the gods, right? The luck.
You just said the magic
things
word.
To help you out.
Well, you just said that's what this is more of a podcast type of thing, so stop me. But that's what the greatest of all times ever said. Nick Saban is obsessed with the process to the point where he does not enjoy winning. Because you're so obsessed with the process that if you win, like for us, when we see the Browns win, I have no control over anything. So when the Browns win, it's this golden, even at 11-6 last year, it's a golden gift. Man, my week's going to be better. Everything's there because I have no control of it whatsoever. But a guy like Stefanski, or in this case, the greatest ever do it, Saban, he has control over all of it. So he's not thinking about just winning this Saturday. He looks at this Saturday and goes, did we do what was necessary to win, or did we luck into winning? Is that's going to cost us later on against Georgia, against so-and-so?
When Joe Flacco is throwing picks in the play, I don't think DePodesta is sitting there so overcome by the results of those throws, those instances in time. I think his work is done. His work has been done setting up their best practices and their systems and all the analytically things. You can only give all these guys so much. At the end of the day, someone's got to go out there and make plays, and somebody's got to win a football game, and you need luck on your side. You need a good spot by a referee. Mm-hmm. You need injury luck. Like I think that tweet that I read about he hasn't won a title, I don't think winning organizations look at it that way. I know that's hard for fans to digest because we are in the why haven't you won business. Like, I'm hearing that about the Guardians. You haven't won a World Series, so what, all of it's been a waste? Can't look at it that way. You would drive yourself crazy if it's title or bust in every sport every year.
I think there's plenty of organizations in the history of sports that have won championships and really didn't deserve it when you really break down what their process is. Sorry. I think that's what it is. I think the Guardians, if you went on...
Think honestly, about what they say about LeBron's title in 2016, right? When he comes back and rescues the cat. What systems went into play?
None.
To make that happen? You just were lucky LeBron was born near here, was drafted here, and you were able to get him back.
If you think about this, that's the best example you could use. If you think about this right now, when you speak about the Cavaliers, this is as close to norm as Cavaliers have been in 25 years. They were a mess before LeBron. An absolute mess. Then when he left for 4 years, they were a mess without LeBron, and they flirted with being a mess this time. This is as close to a normal, decent franchise as they've had since way before LeBron over the last 20-something years. Well, that's saying something. If it went to who deserves it most, the Guardians have a few World Series by now. they would deserve it. But there's been plenty of teams that haven't deserved it. But that's why I think a lot of people go nuts at this time of year, because they're going, hey, you know what? There's been a lot of teams that don't deserve it, Kenny. That's why we need to really go all in, make a cannonball deal. Let's see what we can do. Yeah, but when I name names, we don't necessarily know the names the callers do. What about Eric Fetty? Is that a name?
He's having a career year.
What about Tommy Pham? Is that a name? Those are two names that...
People do know him. I think they definitely know Tommy Pham's name.
Those are two names that Anthony Castrovince wrote about in MLB.com, who could be headed to the Cleveland Guardians by tomorrow afternoon.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.